So I'd like to preface this morning's homily with a little bit of teaching from the Catechism, just some of the Catholic Church's understanding of our creation in the beginning. The Church understands that the soul, at the moment of conception, is created instantly out of nothing by God, and then infused into that little nascent body conceived in the womb. And we know from reading the newspapers that there's something about the human condition that's gone awry because of some of the things that we tend to do, especially to each other. So where does that come from? And the Church would understand that it doesn't come from God at the moment of his creating the soul. The soul is created perfect. It's in the body where we find resident the fallenness of the human condition. And that doesn't take a whole lot of proof to demonstrate, because the entire earth is peppered with cemeteries of bodies that have become laid to rest. So the body itself is a body which is bent upon death and going to the grave in death. And so the Church would understand then that when the soul, created perfect by God, is sown in substantial communion and unity with the body, it contracts, the soul does, from its union with the body, what is called, the Church calls it, concupiscence. And concupiscence is specifically something that affects and wounds the spiritual powers of the otherwise perfect soul once it's in union with the body. And the soul contracts concupiscence by a darkened intellect. One of the fruits of the fall of Adam and Eve is what the Church calls ignorance. Well, that's one of the effects. The intellect is darkened. As to truth, it oddly enough begins to think there is no God. That's ignorance. That's what the Church understands as ignorance. But it also affects the will, which is another spiritual power of the soul. And the will is weakened in its pursuit of good. And so what Paul talks about in today's second reading, then, is the need for a renovation and renewal of the mind, a healing of the mind, which we receive in baptism. It's our rebirth, the renewal of the mind, so that we can properly discern God's will. See, that's the renewal of the mind Paul is talking about. By way, first of all, of becoming conscious of the truth that there is a God, and this God is not only at some far-off distant, but he's personally involved in our lives. He's a personal God as well. And that is what the renewal of the mind means. We begin to live our lives in communion with this God and thereby begin to understand what his will is for our life. But then there comes our will. And chapter 7 of Romans speaks to it, right? Why is it that I don't do the good I see and understand, but the evil I don't intend? It's kind of our conflict. Right? We end up, I know the will of God, and yet I haven't the power to carry it out. Why? Because now we hit the weakness of the will. The way that this perfect soul, infused by God into a fallen body, contracts weakness for accomplishing good, which in this case is the highest good, which is the will of God. God's will for us is nothing but good. And yet, we betray it. We forsake it. Now, what I'd like to then come to, and here, that's the preface. So, How does that play out for us in our lives? Well, Jesus says for us to follow him requires denial. Now, to understand what that means takes untangling this word from how the world interprets it, because the world does not want you to follow this requirement of Christ. And what it says is the denial spoken about here, when Jesus says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, the world interprets that text to mean you have to deny you have any feelings whatsoever. And that is the one unforgivable sin today in the world. You cannot deny your feelings. And therefore, this denial is, it's just so behind the times. Like, what is wrong with you people if you're going to try to do that? And see, that's not what this is about at all. It's not what it's about at all. I mean, God created you with feelings. How could he possibly then tell you to deny them? I mean, yeah, you have feelings. Feelings are there. You can't stop having feelings, my goodness. So it's utterly ludicrous what the world is trying to say when it's interpreting this text of Jesus. See, the subject of the denial is not our feelings. You're going to have feelings. The subject of the denial is our own will. Because what happens is the feelings get out in front of the chariot and start running it. And then we get into trouble. See, that's the denial. I need to deny my will. Because I know the will of God, and yet I have so little strength to carry it out because I won't deny myself in terms of my own will. Which we do need to educate the will, and with the grace of Christ, we are even able to begin to strengthen the will in order to be in conformity with God's will, which is absolutely the highest good for our life. He wills for us so much good, and we fall short because of our own will, you see. And that's our weakness. That's our weakness. Now, so the feelings aren't the problem at all. I mean, the feelings are just going to be feelings. That's what they are. They do what they do. Now, feelings result from what's going on outside of us. That's what they are. They're responses to what's going on outside of us. But the will is a stronger power than our feelings. The will is a stronger power. Let me just demonstrate that, illustrate that. It's really simple. Let's say you have a Doberman Pinscher coming at you at full trot, growling, and he's going to maul you, this creature. In my case, I know for sure what I would be feeling is a lot of fear. That gives me, thank God, the energy I need to, like, get out of there. That's what feelings do. They help serve us in very good ways. But let's say I look in the direction of this beast coming at me and I see a 2-year-old little girl lying on the ground there, 10 feet in the direction of this beast. With my will, I actually have interior executive power sufficient to override how I'm feeling at that moment, to go for that little girl, fetch her, and then run. Now that, right there, is a simple demonstration of what the church has valued in human life for centuries, and it's interior freedom to accomplish good. And the highest good is God's will for us. And it's really a question of whether I'm going to be outer directed by what I'm feeling, and that means all these other things that are going on outside of me are running me by my feelings getting out in front of my will and running this chariot, Or we can begin to try to develop the interior freedom of the children of God by which we're actually able to exercise executive power from within us for the purpose of accomplishing God's will and for our will to be in agreement with His will. And the grace of Christ is what makes that possible, because the intellect and the will are spiritual powers, and God is a healing spirit come in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Now, the world does not want you to arrive at that kind of freedom because it wants to control you. That's what it wants to do. It wants power over you so that you're completely run by what's going on outside of you. In a way, the culture would love to foster in you and I a kind of codependent relationship upon it. When we're happy out here in the world, you're happy. When we're not happy, you're not happy, and you better start making some adjustments. You see? And there's a lot of things in the world I just can't get happy about because they're so contrary to the will of God. And then we get into Jeremiah's experience of, my goodness, am I crazy or is the world going crazy? And we do experience pushback from the world when we don't agree with it. But see, that's the challenge, isn't it? My attempt to live life in such a way that I don't offend the living God. And we're not talking about a denial here that is some kind of Freudian repression of feelings. Feelings are not the problem. They just are. It's the weakness of our will. And Christ has come to strengthen that, to help empower us to accomplish God's will in our lives in such a way that the highest good is done for all of us, instead of constantly cutting it, reducing it, and coming down to just where, in many ways, where we are today. A lot of people getting harmed and hurt because they're letting their feelings get out in front of their mind and their will, and the feelings are running the chariot. And they're running it into the ground. Anyone feeling the tug of the Labor Day ads this weekend? Am I going to be run by those? I don't know about you. I can feel the tug of some of those. Wow, maybe I would have been by now if I had it, spent $5,000 or $6,000. I don't have it, but... And that is a good thing. Can we be free? Absolutely, with Jesus we can. And that is another reason why I don't believe the church in her wisdom will ever get rid of celibate chastity in the Catholic priesthood, because this is the foundation of celibate chastity, the interior freedom for accomplishing God's will. Not a Freudian repression of feelings and, boy, you must be neurotic or psychotic or something. As though priests don't have feelings? Well, I think we've read about some of them on the front pages of our newspaper who maybe didn't learn this lesson so well. They did let their feelings get out in front of their wills and start running the chariot to the point where they did cause some harm. And this is what can happen. This is what can happen. Brothers and sisters. And that's sometimes due to weakness, but sometimes the will can be overcome and actually become malicious and evil. None of that is the will of God for our lives. So today, brothers and sisters, the renewal of the mind, yes, we do need the renewal of the mind and the renovation of our thinking about matters in the world according to God's understanding in the Word of God, yes, that's absolutely important. But then, even after you get to that point, that knowledge is insufficient to empower you to carry it out. We still need the renovation of the will in our surrender. Mary said, "Let it be done unto me according to your will." Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. What surrender that is. And look at the effects of that in our world. That surrender. There's no way we can measure the effects of our surrender of our will to the will of God and the high good that it represents for our lives and the lives of everybody else that we know. So today we want to acknowledge the grace of Christ coming to us from this altar to free us as his children and to reclaim the freedom of the sons and daughters of God.